Get your popcorns, kid.
Get your popcorns.
Oh, just forget it. It's time. Oh, it's done. It's. Back America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and crown, why would you do that?
With brotherhood,
from sea to
shining sea,
you know what, just forget it, go stand in the corner somewhere. Ladies and gentlemen,
can you see?
By the dawn's early light, what so proudly we hailed. What so twilight lit railing.
I forgot the words.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Men and women.
And aliens from space.
Yes, to all of you who are listening. All five of you from a little corner in China, thank you. Thank you very much. You've just made us international. Welcome back to the White Bear and TK podcast. I am RoboCop.
And I am Junie B. Jones.
Yes, I am T. Anthony, the one and only White Beard. Ladies and gentlemen, the only adventure we've had this week in was watching television. A lot of development has happened over the past 2 weeks since coming back from Tennessee, and actually since the beginning of this year, and we're only 5 months into this year.
There's been a development.
And, you know, seems like every year I get older, something goes wrong. And right at this particular moment, I got teeth that have been cracking and falling apart for the past 2 weeks. And just last week alone, it just like got messed up. So Friday, by the time I got home, obviously it's too late to go to the dentist. Thought the dentist was going to be open on Saturday, and that hasn't happened. So I'm basically eating baby food at this point. Try not to have it ripped to pieces. Hopefully,
by the time you're hearing this,
I would have gone to a dentist, we hope, and things will be better. That is my hope. But as it stands right now, So, as you could see from the opening of this show, I was about to do something different. I was going to say to you, kids, get your popcorn, get your soda and your popcorn, and sit back because Get ready for a Coke and Two Store movie review. How many of you remember this from last year? Friday nights or Fridays was our movie review and TV review, and we talked about stuff, and then that was it. This year we were just doing some of that because it was a Kirkman day, so we did the Robert Kirkman, because the guy who did the Walking Dead comic books did a show on Amazon called
Invincible.
We're supposed to say it. Remember, you can't say his name. You got to fill the title screen. Title screen. So we've been doing a couple of reviews on it. But since we're away and other stuff and come back, we have been watching it. We just didn't catch up on the reviews. And I said we would do it. And then it just ended. So we're now just going to talk about, just review the entire year. Year one, season one of Invincible. But first, I want to get another thing that happened on Amazon out of the way, because I saw it already. She just had to finish the second half of that. And I don't really think Invincible is going to disappear out of my brain right now. But so here it goes. No remorse. Oh, wait, we used to do popcorn kernels and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, well, okay, maybe we'll do that at the end of it. Okay. If you are a massive fan of, what's his name? Michael B. what?
Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan, you are going to love this movie. If you are a true fan of Michael B. Jordan, you're going to say, he did well. If you are a fan of Tom Clancy novels, or if you played this game, or if you saw any of Tom Clancy's movies,
do yourself a favor and just don't watch it.
And you saw Tom Clancy's movies, you're going to wake up in the middle of No Remorse going, did I miss something? I'm going to tell you right, I'm going to give you my review right now, right off the top. Here's my number. It is a solid 2.5 popcorn. No, you did popcorn, I did beards, right? Yes. It is a solid 2.5 beards.
Negative 1 million popcorn kernels.
That is it. It doesn't get any better. Man, please. Please. And I've been saying since they've been throwing this in your face every 5 minutes for the past 2 months. Oh, no remorse. Oh, Michael B. But no remorse. Oh, you're going to see this. And they've shown them. I'm sitting there going. And how many times I say to you, what have I been saying since we've seen the trailer for it? What have I said? Tell the people what
it's
I've been saying.
It's not going to be good.
That's not what I said.
You said now you don't want to watch it because you saw the whole movie through the trailer.
Okay, that's not what I said either. Oh my gosh, really? So what I've been saying was the whole time is that I hope they don't mess it up.
They did.
That is what I said. And then after like 2 weeks, they've been throwing a trailer in the face. I'm like, I don't even want to see the movie. That sort of thing already. I said, please don't mess this up. If you have never read this novel, you can even go online and you will find Wikipedia and they will tell you what No Remorse was about. I'm assuming it's a thick book. Judging from all the stuff, all the things that was in this book, it takes place in Baltimore. And for a moment, I had to think. Just the other day, I watched this movie. I'm like, okay, this did take place in D.C., Baltimore. Why is that there? And I remembered, like a distant memory, that Tom Clancy, I believe, was in the Navy. He may have went to the Academy. So he writes about that sort of stuff. And, you know, whole Tom Clancy had video games back in the day, had Rainbow Six and a whole bunch of other things. So, it takes place in Baltimore. And John Clark, who later comes, no, not John Clark, it's John Kelly, who later becomes John Clark, loses his wife. Now, I believe in the book, she dies in a car crash. I don't know if somebody went to kill her. She died in a car crash. Right now, this takes place in the drug-infested area of Baltimore and all the stuff is going on. And so after that, he meets another woman who he becomes very close to, who's hooked on drugs and thinks she's a prostitute. And so he becomes very good friends with her. And then something happens and he goes after the drug dealer and it becomes this revenge thing. In the middle of that, he gets tapped on the shoulder to come back to do these secret missions. And so he goes and do that. And so he has this lady in his life and some other stuff. Now he goes back and he has a name change because he's apparently supposed to be dead. If I remember from what I have read about this book. But this book is filled and dense with so much information. I said that this is a good movie. And because it takes place in Baltimore, you could slide a black guy in there to play this role. Now, I was reminded earlier today reading comments about this movie, and a guy said that Michael B. is playing the role that Willem Dafoe had in Clear and Present Danger. That's who he's supposed to be. So you could easily set this up in modern times of being in Baltimore and having that other stuff. I was like, man, if they do this story right, this is going to be a good movie. Because there was so much happening in this. And they failed miserably. I mean, I don't know. Just what I just told you, would you find that a little bit more compelling than the way his wife dies? Hey, spoiler alerts. Spoiler alerts. This thing was already on Thursday. I'm quite sure you already saw it this weekend. If not, sorry, you're going to get it all spoiled for you.
No. The movie still would have sucked.
No, but I'm talking about the death of his wife. Would it have been, it would have been a lot more compelling than what they just did.
I guess.
You know, she's upstairs and she's pregnant and he's downstairs listening to his music with his headphones in the house with the dark, in the dark. And some people come in, sneak in and turn off all the power and walks up there and kills her. And he only gets up because his laptop turned off, which I said, you have a battery in your laptop. So if your laptop was plugged up and you were playing music.
It wasn't plugged in.
Okay. Okay. All right. You know what? Let's go with your theory. His laptop wasn't plugged in, right? He's listening to music. Mm-hmm. He's listening to music off the battery of his laptop.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes off when they shut off the power.
It died.
No.
They shut off the power and it was still on and then it died.
Right. That's what they want me to believe.
Because he tried to plug it in.
And then it didn't work. No. That's what they want me to believe. Why would it suddenly go off at the same exact time? I mean, if I'm listening to music and I'm sitting right here and I have my laptop, I'm not going to expect the battery to work all night. I'm going to plug it up. That's it. You know why? Because if it goes off while I'm sitting there, I'm going to have to get up out of my bed, up off the couch, or wherever it is, and then go and plug it in. Why are you just staring at me?
Because.
Okay, the best part of that scene was when he does get injured and he has to go into the room for his wife and he's sliding across the floor dramatically. He has to get to his wife and he's dragging his body and you can feel it. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? There's a song there. Can you feel it? There's a song. I felt it coming on.
Can you feel the love tonight?
I have to get to her. Keep singing.
Da, 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 da,
just one more step. I'm almost to the bed. Honey. No. No. Yeah. So it was very dramatic. And a guy falls. And they're shooting each other. Pew, 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 pew. And they both hit the floor. It's like, okay, somebody got to die. And then you go on. And we jump from that scene to the next scene, to the next scene, to the next scene. Jumping, 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 jumping. And I said from the onset in the back of my mind, I think I may have said to you, is that this has a very European feel to it. Like a European action film or something like that. And then after I watched it, I checked it out, and it was by an Italian director who directed the film, who directed probably one other thing that anybody on planet Earth has heard. The other stuff was not known. I guess Amazon said, hey, would you like to do this? Sure. How much do we have to pay him? Not as much as we have to pay an American director. Good, let's do this. And I said from the beginning, I said, man, don't mess this up. Do not mess this up. I mean, the guy, he did okay as Creed in, I mean, that's okay. I could, you know, it doesn't really matter to me about Michael B. Jordan. Whatever.
He's like Addison Rae as a model.
Who's a what or what?
He's like Addison Rae as a model. And a singer. Giving me nothing. You're here. Other people say they like you. But I feel nothing. Like there's an absence of that thing that you need to become big in this area. And you're just... It's never going to happen for you. I'm sorry. But this is what it is.
Yeah.
He has the looks. but I don't get any emotion.
Yeah, he could have. It's like, you know, which one hit? Because I've seen this with actors before. I've mentioned this before. I've seen this with actors before who are great, solid actors, but apparently they're in a movie that could have a really bad script or just a bad director, and their acting sucks. And in that case, this is what I would say about actors. You have one job. That is to act. Whether the director is terrible or good, you should still be able to act. There couldn't be, what is my motivation here? Am I constipated, or have I had just a little bit too much fiber? What is my motivation? I need to know so I can get into the character. How about you just check out and we get another actor? They probably should have went.
Oh.
They probably should have went that way with a different actor.
Me interrupting because.
And the screenwriting was terrible. So if you're a big fan, you'll probably overlook the fact that this movie was terrible and go, Michael B. Jordan, this is a great movie. It was a great movie. It was a great movie. It was not. It was not. Here's the reason why it's terrible. If you ever played a Clancy game, if you ever read one of his books, if you ever seen any one of the films, except for the one with Ben Affleck, because he screws up everything and makes everything terrible. But even that movie, The Sum of All Fear with Ben Affleck, all Affleck had to do was show up. The story was compelling, the story was good, and it was well done. So all he had to do was show up. And if you played the games or anything else, you know you can't rush this type of stuff because it's so much information. And it's about espionage and spies and bombs and all. So it needs to be handled with care and taken care very slowly and unfolded. From the beginning of this film, it seems like it's rushing and jumping from scene to scene to scene and rushing and rushing and rushing. And there was this other thing that bugged me. What was the deal with his voice? It was kind of like, what's his name playing Batman? I'm Batman. I'm Bruce Wayne. Who am I talking about? Christian Bale. Who played Batman, and every time he talked to Batman, he was talking like this. Like, what is he doing? Luckily, Batman, all the films he did were great. And for whatever reason, maybe he was just trying to make his voice sound deeper or more mature. I don't understand what he was doing. I really don't. This film had way too many problems. It rushed the story. The story was basically a revenge story. We've seen revenge films. I like revenge films. What's the woman, the girl, the daughter gets taken? Taken! That's the name of the movie. Taken right there. I like revenge films. And we've all seen it. In this revenge film, you've already saw it. But give me something else. This gave me nothing. I didn't really believe any of these people had military background. It really was poor. And then there was not only him, but there were a number of British actors. Two in particular. I'm going to tell you something to make you laugh. What's his name, Bell, who you said? What's his name?
Jamie
Bell, for whatever reason, could not hold on to his American accent. He was playing the CIA guy. And I kept hearing the British accent slip out or something. Like, what is going on? And then there was the other guy who I like. The other CIA guy. What's the actor's name? You got your phone?
Mm-hmm.
Look it up. Hurry up. You look it up and I'll just keep talking about nothing. And the other actor, who I really like, who Jeremy Johns was talking about, Guy Pearce. This is where you're gonna laugh. I looked at Jeremy Johns' review. I was like, let me see if he likes this. And he did not like it. He says, I'm gonna, what is that factor? T-1 minute, I won't remember it from day one to T-. See, I don't remember. He said, come on. You know, you cast Guy Pearce. If there's going to be some sleazy guy who've done something wrong, and you cast Guy Pearce, that's too perfect of a casting. You know he's going to be the bad guy. So I've seen The Man in the Iron Mask. You know he's going to be the bad guy. It's like a walking ball. You thought it was going to be Bell. I'm sitting there going, no, it's probably going to be Guy Pearce. And then it wasn't Bell, it was Pearce. And I was like, jeez, Louise, man, you people who did this, put this thing together. It was really not a good project at all. And if you really want to see a Tom Clancy thing done well, since you're already probably on Amazon, check out Jack Ryan. You can even get some Harrison Ford's two movies, and you might even see The Hunt for Red October on there, which the young Jack Ryan in that one is, what's the guy? I forget his name. So you can catch it on Amazon, but I think on Amazon Prime, you will see Clear and Present Danger and Patriot Games. The Hunt for Red October. Alec Baldwin plays Jack Ryan in The Hunt for Red October. And so you could do that. But you could see Clear and Present Danger, the ones where Harrison Ford is playing Jack Ryan. And I think it's more of Jack as a little bit older Ryan. And so then when you see the modern movies, they were trying to take Ryan back to being younger, to which we get like Ben Affleck and Chris Pines. I think Chris Pines was a really good movie. I think it was Jack Ryan, New Recruit or something like that. But what happened was there have been so many failed attempts at it that nobody was looking to see a Jack Ryan film because we've seen so many spy thrillers at this point. So that's how that go. But yeah, check out Jack Ryan. Didn't you see it done right? All of the nuances, all of the detail, the slow of getting to where you need to be going in order to do what you have to do. So kudos to whoever does that whole production, and even what's his name with the big nose? Krasinski. What's his first name?
John
Krasinski does a great job of playing Jack Ryan and Annalis, which we know he actually is more than that since he does the stuff he does, but he still refers to himself as an Annalis. Kind of like the Harrison Ford one. So, yeah, you gave it like popcorn dust.
Negative 1 million.
Okay, let us give you some email information, and the next up, we're going to go into, what's the name? Now that we have your attention, if you have any questions or comments, or you just want to say hello, you can reach us at
whitebeardandtk@gmail.com.
That's whitebeardandtk@gmail.com. And also, you know what you need to do? You need to check out our channel on YouTube, and you will get the full Whitebeard and TK experience. Say it again for them.
Whitebeard and TK experience.
On YouTube. There you'll find clips, video clips of the week from a podcast, and you'll soon be able to catch our adventure series that we're hoping to do on Fridays. But we don't know. Haven't picked out the right day that we want to do it yet. At any rate, you'll be able to see both things on that channel. Say it again.
Whitebeard and TK Experience.
On YouTube. Press that button. No, I meant you, not them. So,
now that we're done talking about that movie,
Jeremy
that was
Jones.
Worse than the Scott Pilgrim movie. Can we move on?
Jeremy Johns. Okay. Here's the thing about in, or whatever it goes. The point of all that is that if when you watch Invincible, you get it from like the first thing. what's your name? And then before he could say it, they throw the screen up and it just says Invincible. No one ever really says his name except for when he finds out he has a name and he goes, I got it. Or does he even say it then?
Sometimes.
That his name, no. When he came up with his name, did he actually say his name was going to be Invincible?
No.
You're right. He didn't even say anything. He said, I got it. I know my name is going to be. And then we never actually heard him say it. But you hear people say, hey, look, Invincible's here. That's funny. That's actually funny.
By the end of the season, the title screen has like 98% covered with blood.
Okay, see, now you're going to jump the gun. But that's a good thing because when I was watching Jeremy Johns, he reminded me, a guy who does movie and TV reviews on YouTube, who we really like. I found him during quarantine time. So he said that there's blood on a title screen.
Uh-huh.
And each episode, the old blood is still there.
Yes.
And then at the end, he's like, it's just covered with blood. I'm like, really? I didn't even notice that.
How did you not? There's a splat every time it happens.
I know there's a splat every time it happens. I didn't realize that the splat was still there from each and every time. And then by the time it's just like covered in like full, it's like full red.
Yeah.
Okay, for some of you who might see this, this would be like some superhero cartoon. I don't want to say Avengers is not, I don't think it's like Avengers.
This is everything that the boys could have been.
Everything the boys could have been, minus the a serious amount of cussing and sex and everything else. So, but and I think just like as Jeremy John said and I said in the beginning, it seems similar to that because we're talking about a real world where we know that superpowered people are alive, and they're among us, and they're helping, and that they are. Well, they're not real people. In a sense of the boys. And I think that's where the similarities, they split. You might be going, oh, it's kind of like the boys with the violence. You might, oh, it's kind of with the blood. You might, oh, it's kind of like the boys. That's about all it has going for it. It's not the Avengers. You come close to every super show where there's a Superman type of person on the thing. They got their own version of what could be the Flash, which is, what was his name?
Red Rush.
Red Rush. I kept going, what's she calling Red Rush? Red what? He's Red Rush. And I was like, oh, I got it. He's a speedster. Red Rush. Immortal, who I love, by the way. And there's a whole cast of characters. Adam Eve, and we're trying to figure out why.
Because she can manipulate the atoms.
Right, and her name is Eve. But I'm like, why is she walking around with a pink outfit in the female thing?
Because she wanted to. That was just her.
Yeah, it is, but it's just like, what? She you couldn't even pick a different color. Was she wearing shorts, right?
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah. It took me like 3 episodes to figure out why she's called Adam Eve. But there's Adam Eve, the clone brothers, the blue guy. You're the clone.
Are the villains for about 5 seconds.
Well, hello, clone. No, you're the clone. I'm not the clone. You're the clone. I'm the original. No, I'm the original.
Which is crazy because you just stepped out the machine and you're like, you're the clone. You just came out of the machine. How am I the clone? That makes no sense.
From the beginning, when you see the episode 1, it's like, oh, this is so cute. This is an adult cartoon of superheroes? I don't get this. And then all of a sudden the blood starts to fly like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, the clone guys. Okay.
Because you think, oh, wow, after credits scene, just like the Avengers, it's going to be fun, it's going to be cute, maybe they'll give us a little hint into the next episode. No, that's not what happens.
All right, there is some talking or something going on during the credits and when things happen. But the first episode ends with the Guardians. It's the Guardians of the Globe, right?
Yes.
It's the Guardians of the Globe, which are a bunch of more adult superheroes. And there are the teenagers, which are the
Teen Team.
The Teen Team, which Adam Eve belongs to, and
Rexplode.
Rexplode.
duplicate.
Right, Duplicate.
Who else was on there? Robot.
No, was it Robot with the other group?
No.
He was with the teens?
Yes.
Okay, and teen.
I guess so they don't, like, kill each other.
Yeah, and so you had a group of teens, and you had the Guardians of the Globe, and at the end, the Guardians assemble at their assembled place, and they are summarily killed.
It's like, who called us here? I didn't do it. Well, I thought you did it. No, I didn't do it.
And Omni-Man's head gets chopped off. The Hammer Woman, the Hammer who I said was like Wonder Woman, she gets killed.
Not Omni-Man.
What?
Not Omni-Man.
What about Omni-Man?
You said Omni-Man's head comes off.
Oh, because I was thinking Omni-Man who did all the damage.
Yes. He was like snapping people's heads off.
Snapping heads, ripping out chests, killing people. He killed the entire...
Twisted the torsos around.
He killed every single person. And Omni-Man was supposed to be one of the good guys, the big old hero, you know, the flying around Superman. He's the tough guy. He was never part of the Guardians, but he would help them out. And that's the first volley. But the story revolves around, yes, Omni-Man, but it's really about, take it away, Jay.
Mark. Or Invincible.
Yes. Which is his son.
Yes. Who, by the way, if you watched the show and you didn't catch it, I'm just going to let you in on something that happened in the semi-background. When Mark first gets his powers and throws a trash bag into the air, it comes down in, where was it? Wherever the security guard and his son were at, it comes down on top of them.
They were... Didn't they go to London?
I think so.
I think they did.
But if you weren't paying attention, then you wouldn't remember that. I thought that was really funny.
You thought that was funny. Jeremy Johns was talking about all the details. He said, I really appreciate the details in it. Because I totally forgot about that. Mm-hmm. That he threw the bag and it never came down. And it's like the next episode, you see it, the bag comes down, which scared the mess out of me. It hit the guy. I thought it was blood coming out all over him. And you said it was ketchup.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the heck was that? And you remind me, it was the bag from the first episode. And so he was saying how, you know, you dig in somebody's eyes and they're bloodshot and they're red. And then, like, you know, the next episode, it's a new day and, like, we forgot. Mm-hmm. He said, but they didn't.
Yeah.
They kept it, which I like the detail, too. So go on.
Yeah, all the injuries were still there. Mark still inherited that fast healing. But his mother is a human. And she and his father met because he saved her. And I was just like, girl, what? What? You never get into a relationship with somebody that saved you. Eventually, that feeling is probably going to wear off. And then you're going to be like, oh... There's going to be a bunch of icks about that person that you have. And you're just going to disregard them because they save me.
Who does the voice?
Of who?
The mother.
Sandra Oh.
Sandra Oh. And who does, all of you Walking Dead fans out there, who is the voice of the teenage boy?
Steven Young,
right?
Where do you get Young from?
Or Yoon. Whatever
it's
it is.
Yoon.
Steven Yoon. Who was Glenn. Mm-hmm. He never, I don't know how long they did this, he never breaks character. There's not one point when he speaks where he sounds like he's an adult.
Which is funny. Oh,
it is so crazy. And it's like, you don't know that this is him.
It has nothing to do with the voices, but about the characters themselves. Which is funny because he had like such a sad death. And then on this show, he borderline cannot die.
Ooh, yeah.
But he also had a bloody near death.
Yeah, but we ain't there yet. Why are you just going to jump all through that? So there are only two recognizable voices on the show for the cast. And that's his dad, which is J.K. Simmons, I think it is. Mm-hmm. We Are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum. You know that guy?
And from that one drum movie?
Yeah. The jazz drum movie where he was crazy. And was it Counterpoint? That spy show?
Counterpart.
Whatever. And so he's the dad. He is Omni-Man. But you recognize his voice. Like, I know that voice from somewhere. And I couldn't. It was like, I know this voice. And the minute I saw him, I'm like, yep, I got it. The only other recognizable voice who it's you wouldn't know, like, clearly, was Robot, which was, what's his name's voice?
Zachary Quinto, which recently we watched an episode of this Bear Grylls show, and I've been going around my entire, like, I don't know, 5 years of actually watching something that this man was in and mispronouncing his last name.
What have you been calling him?
Quinto. And I was just like, oh.
Isn't that his name?
No, yeah, but Bear said Quinto, so now I'm self-conscious about the way that I pronounce things.
Who cares? Bear Grylls is not an American. He might be saying it wrong.
And it was some...
Yeah, Zachary is Robot, so...
And Carrie Payton. I immediately knew who that was. And there was someone else, but I can't remember his name.
So his voice... Zachary's voice, you will know. You will automatically know. He doesn't try to disguise or anything else as Robot. And so you will recognize that voice immediately. Everybody else, you'll have to look up and go, hey, I didn't know. Wow, that person, what's his name from The Walking Dead, has like 5 or 6 characters?
Yes, that's who I was talking about.
He's got 1,000 character voices.
In one character, I was like, yeah, that's definitely him. But all the rest, I was like, okay. Yeah, he did a good job.
The favorite one is Omni-Man. I mean, Immortal. Where's Omni-Man? I'm going to kill you! You traitor! When he goes chasing him down to beat up Omni-Man. So what we do is we find a story about a teenager who's coming of age in his powers. And so... his dad's secret identity, well, right, they know. So so he's a regular high school kid going through high school stuff, going through someone being picked on and bullied, and one guy beats the mess out of him for like 5 seconds. And then he has his friend, his schoolmate, who I think we talked about when we talked about the first or second episode when he was saying about Omni-Man being so hot. Mm. He was like, ugh. It was like, oh, stop. Because it's Mark's dad he's talking about. And so he meets this girl. What's the girl's name who I don't like so much?
I can't remember.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. So he meets this this girl in school, in high school, that he really likes. And then, so while we're watching this, you know, him playing out his high school stuff, and he knows the team, and... so when he gets his powers, he really can't control them. So, what?
Sorry. Why are you so offended?
Offended?
Yeah, I don't remember her name, but the lady who plays her is Zazie Beetz, who was in Joker.
Whatever.
Who was the lady that Joker liked, and he imagined this entire relationship with her that never actually happened. Yeah.
So,
you're talking about him getting his powers.
Right, so he gets his power like within the first episode. He's going out, testing it out. His dad finds out. And so he comes home and he tells his mom, he said, finally, I got it. And he's at the table. And his dad, Omni-Man, what's his first name?
Who?
Nolan, right?
Yes.
Nolan is at the dinner table. And his wife kicks him because he's not excited about Mark getting his powers. We later find out why. You got to get through half the season to figure it out. And we're going, whoa. And so he said, okay, we're going to go out, we're going to go training. So he tries to train him on using his powers and everything else. And he does something, and then he runs into Adam Eve and then realizes, oh, that's the girl I go to school with. And I think she's one of the first people that knows that who he is, that he's invincible. He went through a few monikers. The first one was just so stupid, he needed to have it changed. So his dad took him to the tailor who does all the super suits for all the superheroes. And then thus everything begins, him with high school and things like that. The planet gets attacked. They have to fight against the planet. But now, since the global people are dead, the Teen Teen steps in to be the new superhero protectors of the world.
They did an okay job. But eventually they had to add some people onto their team.
Yes.
Who were Monster Girl.
And Duplicate.
No. Duplicate was already there.
She was?
And Shrinking Ray. And Black Samson. No, Black Samson.
Black Samson.
It's Black something.
Black Samson.
It is? Okay, there we go.
Yeah, but Black Samson was, he was an old superhero.
Yeah.
From before. I think he was a former Guardian. So I think he's a former Guardian.
But he lost his powers.
Right, he lost his powers or something else happened.
Which is probably why he's still alive.
And why he's sitting in the sidelines, but then now he's back helping them, and all of a sudden he's got his powers back after something happens. And so Monster Girl is interesting. She can turn into a monster and rip your face off. And then
she's like 20-something.
Yeah, and then she goes back to being a little kid.
Yeah.
That gets younger.
Because she ages backwards like a week every time she does it.
Poor thing. How is she going to be a superhero if she's, by the time the show is over, she's going to be an infant?
Probably.
Unless Robot can fix her.
Yeah, that was his plan.
That was his plan. Or Rudy.
Yes.
So, here's this kid. We watch him go through his teenage years, and we watch him go through this whole thing. And as he gets his powers, his dad tells him about the story of the planet they come from, which is Veltrum. Tell them about Veltrum, the great story about Veltrum. Tell them about Veltrum.
I think that's what they're called, because they're called Veltrumites.
Veltrumites, yes.
Oh. Apparently they're these happy people. Yes. When they come of age, they go away to protect other planets.
Yes.
From people that want to kill them. Woo!
Yes. And that's the story. And so he came to
protect Earth and be its
soul
protector. And like Mark is like, I want to be like you. And his dad is like, you will. You will.
And in the meantime, there's an investigation going on to see who murdered the global people. And it's being done by a demon.
Trying to save Zontal.
Right. So that's happening in the background while all the other stuff is falling in the foreground. And then the story begins to unfold. And I got to say, I was more than shocked at the last episode. Not at the reveal, because we already knew who killed the people.
Uh-huh.
But it's the process of going to bookends from the first part, from episode 1 to episode 8. And it's just insane. And
they had this scene that was like in... was it Age of Ultron? I think it was, because I recently saw it. Where they're like, bring down the hammer. And it kind of reminded me of that scene where they have the Hulk. And was it Tony? Yeah. He sends down this thing from space that he has and like puts him in this cage. And he just goes underground and gets out of it. And so on Invincible, the guy was like, bring down the hammer. And I was like, oh, this isn't going to work. And it didn't.
It worked for about 5 seconds. And see, here's what happens. Omni-Man increasingly gets angry with his family. And you start to see him fall apart midway through. And he's covering his tracks. And his wife is feeling a little in doubt because the demon shows up and says, investigating a story I am, and, you know, murder people who didn't, I don't know.
He speaks in broken sentences.
Yeah, he speaks in broken sentences. So he was casting doubt. And what's the mom's name? It doesn't matter. He was casting doubt in the mom's brain about her husband. Meanwhile,
Debbie.
So he makes Debbie start to doubt. So now she's starting to look at, you know, at Nolan, like, what's going on? So she starts checking out and starts doing a little research in the background. And her friend of hers, which is Red Rush's girlfriend, she says she's going back to Russia. So she wanted Debbie to come and sell her house for her. So when she gets there, she said, does he ever lie? She said, yeah, he lies. And which made more doubt in Debbie's mind about Nolan telling her the truth about all the stuff that was going on. So now the boy's in school and he's getting into a relationship with whatever her name is that we can't remember.
Amber.
He gets in a relationship with Amber and I'm like, this ain't gonna work. I liked him in the beginning, but I was like, nah, I'd rather him be with Adam Eve. I think that's a better setup. And so, but yeah, and then he just doesn't tell her the entire time that he's invincible. But she knows.
She somehow pieced it together.
She pieced it together. We find this later on. And then she's mad, I'm assuming, because he didn't tell her. Because he had to keep making excuses for not being there for her dates because he was off saving the world, literally saving the world and the planet. And so... once the teens actually take over doing all the super fighting, stuff starts happening. Like crazy people who attacked poor Mark's little friend who met a guy at a college campus.
Uh-huh.
Who got snatched up by some crazy dude and turned him into mindless robots to kill people. But so there's a whole lot of stuff going on at the same time while there's an investigation happening and then you're watching this kid do this and then Omni-Man falling to pieces. And then she finds his suit with the blood. Someone explain to me why Nolan would keep the bloody suit.
So that nobody found out.
Yeah, he could have just burnt it.
Would it burn though?
I don't know. So there's a fight. There's a fight. I'm going to go back to like earlier. There's a fight between Omni-Man and all of the global people. And the only one it seemed to be able to beat him was Hammer Girl or whatever her name is. But she was taken out quickly. And then there's Immortal who really beat the stuffing out of him. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking that's the only one who could beat him. This is going to come up a little bit later on why I brought that up. So we go through the whole year, and then you get down to episode 8. That final episode, what were you thinking about this when you watched it?
First of all, Immortal showed up in the cornfield and gets killed yet again.
Yeah. But after he really, that was funny. Where's Omni-Man? Where's Omni-Man? I'm going to kill him. You traitor! He beat the stuff. And I was like, we need Immortal. Immortal can beat him. This is the only person. Because they're trying to find out how can they beat this guy just in case we have to.
Just in case.
And
it's happening now.
He, go ahead. He was in the cornfield. And what happened to the poor guy?
He got ripped in half.
This is insane.
So he had to go to the hospital. And
well, we find out he's in the hospital, but yeah.
Yeah.
He's dead, deader than dead.
But they got him strapped together.
Blood all over the field, and the poor kid looking at his father, who just murdered people.
He's like, no, you have to be being controlled. Let him go. And then Omni-Man's just like, no, it's me. We need to talk. What?
Yeah.
No amount of talking can fix this.
Yeah, so there was no mind control at all in this series. It was just Omni-Man being Omni-Man.
Yeah. And he was like, all these humans, you know, they're worthless. What are they doing with their lives anyway? my planet actually conquers people, and we wanted to be the biggest empire, but people were, like, fighting back, so we had to, you know, take care of them.
Yeah, so he wasn't here to protect the Earth. He was here to prepare it for conquer.
To weaken it. And he was like, well, you know, me and your mother, we were married, but I didn't really like her, you know. It was just a fling. It was supposed to be 3 months at max, but somehow you came out of it, and I just couldn't walk away. So those weren't his actual words, but it would have been funny.
So I know you love my mother. I know you love Mom. Like, you know what? We got to kind of live forever. I do love your mother, but she's more like a pet. Like, and she was listening.
It was like, the older you get, the slower you age, you could live for, like, ever. And then Mark was like, I don't care how long I live. And I'm just like,
Yeah, so unfortunately, Mom was listening, and so was the entire world, since this was being broadcast while all this was going on. And so all the world saw that Omni-Man was a bad dude. His wife figured out that, wow, he really never loved me.
And then Omni-Man was like, oh, you just don't learn. And so he was beating him up through the city.
Yeah, that was a massive bloody mess. That's what made my jaw drop. I'm like, whoa. I mean, they went all out on that last episode. I mean, it was blood, bones, beaten. He was beat. If any of you are... The Walking Dead fans, remember Glenn getting hit in the head with the bat? I think this beating was worse than that.
Yeah, he hit him, and then he went flying into, like, the inner city, went through a building, was digging through the earth with his body, still flying, just still going.
The thing with the train hurt me. I was like,
the building was, like, crumbling, falling, and he tried to save this lady and her daughter, but he ended up just holding this lady's arm.
But here's something I was listening to, like Jeremy Johns was talking about, and what I thought about, and I didn't think about during the thing, because I was so just sitting there, not shocked, but like, what is going on? He said, and that's from one Veltramite.
Uh-huh.
One did all that damage on the earth. Can you imagine what a whole planet of the armies could have come and done to the earth? Mm-hmm. No one could beat Omni-Man. I mean, his son could barely, Invincible could barely tuck him. I mean, they had a good fight, but, you know, his dad was a full-grown man who's been in his powers for so long. He's still a 16, 17-year-old kid. I mean, the closest person come to beating him in a fair fist-to-fist fight was Immortal. And he just disappears, and we don't know what's happening. We do know he came to plan, you know, to this people going to invade the Earth. So it's like, if this one person can do this damage, what can a whole army of them do? Mm-hmm. So that's a frightening thought.
He leaves. They snatch up Mark's remains, take him to their superhero hospital, and they're like, all right, they gave him 3 weeks and he was up and walking. So I mean, I guess that's good. And he was like, I don't know if being a superhero is really what I want to do anymore, since Omni-Man is gone, you know, that was our biggest threat. I think I'm good.
Yeah, but I don't know about that, because like I said, you know, him being gone means nothing, because we know what his plans were.
Cecil was like, hey, I got your quote-unquote dead husband's life insurance money.
Oh, yeah, right. It said Omni-Man is dead, so we can...
We declared him dead, so here's the money. You guys will be fine.
Yeah, they'll be fine. They'll be taken care of, so that's a cool... You know, that's an excellent detail. It's a detail that... was kind of in the Marvel universe with Falcon coming back after just being snapped away. And you come back and you have nothing to take care of you. Because he hadn't really worked. He hadn't had a real job. He was a superhero, so he got stuff for free. Here, it's like, okay, Omni-Man is gone. You guys You know, the whole thing is that Nolan died in the fire that was bombed, and we already had life insurance for him, so now you got money and you're taken care of. That's an excellent detail to add. Mm-hmm. So that the family would be taken care of. I forgot what the wife does. And of course, we know the boy's in high school, so...
She's a real estate agent.
Right, she's a real estate agent, and the boy, Mark, is in high school, so that's going to be interesting.
And the guy, he's not a Martian. The guy that came from space comes, and he's like, I have to tell you something. He's like, there's a village living on your planet. And Mark's like, yeah.
Oh, I have to tell you something. There's a Voltramite on your planet.
I kind of knew that already. You know, that time has come and passed. And he's like, oh, okay.
So he's an idiot. He's a complete idiot.
He grabs a moon rock and he's like, take a seat. Let me fill you in on what's been happening. And so then he's like, okay, well, what are you going to do now, Marky? And then it's like... It's like all the things, like the aftermath of what happened, is like in a montage scene as he's like thinking, and then he goes, "Oh, finish high school."
Yeah.
I mean, yes, because you missed a whole year, and that wasn't even like you didn't get up and go to school; you just were saving the world. But also, there's still an entire planet.
Yeah, so who knows what the future's going to hold. I know that he's going to come back to supposedly to attack the Earth. He didn't care about his son because he tried to kill him. He didn't care about his wife. Nolan didn't care about his wife because, like he said, she was nothing but like a pet to him. And he was really like biting his tongue, taking care of the planet because his only job was to weaken them so that his people can take over it. So it's like, I don't know what's going to happen. But I did hear that that Amazon picked them up for season 2 and 3. So they get 2 more seasons of this incredible show.
And then...
That, wow.
At the end of the episode, Immortal's okay. He's at the superhero hospital, getting put back together.
I hope so.
And they have those weird dead human soldiers that super genius scientist made. And what else? There's an entire secret lab.
Yes.
That is, you can't see but the human eye because they put things into the water.
So yeah, I think this is definitely worth checking out, although we pretty much told you the whole thing, but you need to see it for yourself. You need to see it for yourself. I think Kirkman did a pretty good job at this. I haven't read the comic book. She hasn't read the comic book. And almost everybody who we know who's reviewing the show and doing reactions to it, nobody's read the comic book. I think one person read like comic book one, but they said they just wanted to go into this without any spoilers of what might happen, and they just want to see it for themselves. Unlike The Walking Dead, a lot of people have saw it. But again, Robert Kirkman's Invincible is really worth the time of watching. It is not a kid's cartoon, though it says it has a sexual content or something in it. We haven't seen any of that. Maybe it's reference to or something like that. But yeah, it was worth the time. Remorse was not worth my time, and I'm really, really mad about that. So yeah, I don't know what the rest of this week is going to and what the rest of the week is going to be. We're hoping to get back to the book nook because we haven't finished that book. So hopefully that will be what is up next. I have to get out of here and go make some dinner so that I can chew on one side until I can get to the dentist. My life is just awesome. My life be like, ooh, ah, ooh, ah. My life be like, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah. My life be like, ooh, ah.